On Tuesday's front page, federal informants who have links to Mexican drug cartels. Some cases imply the U.S. is making deals with hitmen. That's the same thing the Obama administration accused Iran of doing when it tried to hire a Mexican drug cartel to kill the Saudi ambassador. In Tunisia, a moderate Islamist party claimed victory. And poverty in the suburbs. Since 2000, the poverty rate in suburbs has risen twice as fast as it has in cities. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story looks at federal informants who have links to Mexican drug cartels. At issue is whether the U.S. is making deals with hitmen. That's the same thing the Obama administration accused Iran of doing when it tried to hire a Mexican drug cartel to kill the Saudi ambassador. Questions about the Drug Enforcement Administration's dealings with informants are at the center of a case in Chicago, where a high-ranking leader of one Mexican cartel is scheduled to go on trial next year. A lower-level leader of the same cartel was sentenced to life in prison last month. He'd been working as a kind of double agent in Texas. He gave immigration officials information about a rival cartel to distract them from his own trafficking. Also on Tuesday's front page, a moderate Islamist party claimed victory in Tunisia. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick tells us Ennahda appeared to be the big winner as preliminary results leaked out.
The question now is how much of a plurality or a majority Ennahda wins. Ennahda said that they espouse a very moderate brand of Islamic politics. They don't even use the word Islamist anymore. And they're very committed to the principles of a Western-style constitutional democracy. The liberals here say they just don't believe them. They think Islamists are Islamists are Islamists, and Ennahda is lying with a hidden Iranian agenda.
Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick in Tunis. Ennahda apparently won at least 30% of the votes cast on Sunday. Party officials told a news conference Ennahda had come out ahead in almost every voting district. One top party official said it could end up with more than 50%. Tuesday's Times looks at how Republican candidate Mitt Romney has been preparing for the candidates' debates. He shed much of the operational baggage that weighed down his campaign 4 years ago. That time, the campaign built a stage with four lecterns for a practice debate. Before the recent debate in New Hampshire, Romney and a few aides just sat around talking about what's in the news. Romney turned in a looser, more confident performance. Now the question is whether he can build the kind of emotional bond with voters that often makes the difference in a campaign. Here in New York, Brooklyn Borough President Marty Markowitz has a network of charities that have raised his visibility. They've also raised at least $20 million from corporations and developers with projects in Brooklyn. That's apparently a way of sidestepping the city's campaign finance system. It all but bars people with business before the city from contributing to officials who have the power to make the decisions. Since 2000, the poverty rate in suburbs in this country has risen twice as fast as it has in cities. Some 5 million suburbanites fell below the poverty line, forcing some suburban communities to reevaluate their identity. A Brookings Institution analysis says the increase has been sharpest where the housing market collapsed, but Times reporter Sabrina Tavernisi says the industrial Midwest has also been hard hit. The food pantry in Parma Heights, Ohio, outside Cleveland, began by serving several dozen families a month. That was back in 2006. Now it's helping 260. Critic Seth Chazelle calls Bjork's new conception, Biophilia, one of the most creative and innovative new projects in popular culture. It turns an album into an audiovisual game, giving listeners a miniature production studio. He says, you know you're in for something different when you hear Sir David Attenborough delivering the introduction. Seth Chazelle says Biophilia is Bjork's effort to bring us into greater awareness of the natural world through music and technology. Inside Tuesday's Times, banks that don't want deposits. They're discouraging big depositors from parking their cash because it's getting harder for the banks to turn it around for a profit. Besides paying next to nothing for deposits, some banks have started passing along part of the cost of federal deposit insurance. Bank of New York Mellon warned in August that it would impose a fee on deposits from some clients who were moving huge piles of cash in and out of their accounts. European officials are smoothing out details of a plan to save the euro, but fears are growing that the end result may be another example of European leaders doing as little as they think they can get away with. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi did little to ease the discomfort. He spent Monday struggling to get his allies to support pro-growth measures he first promised in August. At the marathon talks in Brussels over the weekend, German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy disdained Berlusconi's progress so far. British Prime Minister David Cameron is facing a revolt from members of his Conservative Party. They don't see why Britain should stay in the European Union. Sarkozy took Cameron to task at the talks in Brussels. Back home in London, legislator after legislator rose in Parliament to complain about Cameron's European policy. They said he'd done nothing to stop the EU from siphoning off money and authority. In this country, the Obama administration is overhauling a program that lets homeowners refinance their mortgages at lower interest rates. The White House said changes to the Home Affordable Refinance Program will let people qualify for new loans no matter how far their home values have slipped. In many cases, they'll no longer need an appraisal. The administration says this is the first of several economic steps it's taking that don't require approval from Congress. That reflects a pragmatic calculation that Congress is deadlocked and a political calculation that the Republicans are to blame. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.